Welcome back to Unread Unruly. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is episode, I think, 81 at this point, which is, we're getting closer to 100.
Oh my gosh. We got something big for 100. That's insane.
We've got to plan this out.
Yeah.
We accidentally completely skipped our usual segment in the last episode.
Yeah.
So we're going to go back. Unruly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to run it back right now and play a little game.
Yes.
Okay. You're asking me, right?
I am.
Okay.
So Unread or Unruly?
Let's do Unruly.
Okay. So, you know how I was always joking about the Phil Collins thing where I'm like, you know, that always helps me get through it, which it's true, guys. It's true. It gets through my day. Do you guys, if like when I'm having a bad day, so do you have a either movie, book, or like a show that you watch when you're like, I'm stressed out? Like there's something that's just going to keep me either occupied or like calm me down.
Yeah.
You just know that like, and even when you're stressed, you tend to watch that more.
I have two answers and they're both so corny.
I love it.
Super corny. I think that you guys won't be surprised by this at all. One of them is Twilight New Moon.
Oh God, that's such a good one.
New Moon specifically. Oh, I'm like, okay, fast forward past Bella curling up into a ball and almost dying in the forest.
Oh yeah. I do usually fast forward that part. Yeah.
I do, because I'm like, okay. I know the party. Yay. Bella's
depression.
Depressed. She's spinning in the chair, I want to get to when she's fixing the bike. So Jacob, that's my favorite.
I was just picturing that in my head.
I could watch just them hanging out as its own movie.
Me too.
Well, you know what? And I love Edward.
Yeah.
When he came back, I was like, okay.
I know. At the very end, you're like,
yeah. Okay. I could have. You could have let him re-kill
himself. He wanted. It's fine.
Yeah, and the whole ending, the Italy part, the Volturi, whole thing. I'm like, whatever.
He got way too sparkly. That episode, it was like too much sparkle.
Too moody, too sparkly. Yes. And also, the whole thing is like they're very brooding, very teenage angst, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
But it was like, I just wanted to see her be happy for a fucking second.
I know.
Damn. And that middle part, first of all, the soundtrack for New Moon.
So good.
It's my favorite of all of them.
Oh, man. Now you're making me.
We have to do what
we said we've been wanting to do, which is sit down and just watch a Twilight marathon.
Okay. I low key think that we should do that for a Patreon.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Wouldn't that be fun? Because
yes.
We can put full movies on Patreon without getting copyright stricken.
Oh, we have to.
But that's like a comfort blanket to me.
I get that. That
just
makes
skip
sense.
Past Bella fucking falling apart, getting carried out of the forest, which I'm like, she fell into like a depression coma.
Who took her out? Was it Sam?
It wasn't Sam.
It wasn't him.
Shirtless, carrying her in his
arms.
It
wasn't Jacob.
No.
It was,
Jacob was still long-haired, like brooding Jacob at that point.
Oh, I loved Sam.
Yeah. Oh, really? Jacob wasn't brooding at that point. He was just like, hey, I like Bella. Man.
Yeah.
But then he cut his hair off and then he's like, I like Bella.
And we're like, yeah. We like you.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I'll never forget the theater. Every single teenage girl was like, ah!
The scene when he takes his shirt off to help her when she hits her head, the theater lit up. You can't go and see movies like that anymore. No. It was such a once in a lifetime experience seeing it when it first
came
out.
Whatever his name is, what is his name?
Taylor Lautner?
He must feel so good about himself.
He has to.
Knowing what he did to teenage girls at that age. Like, oh my God.
And for him to, like, have that effect and still not be, like, the main guy.
No, that's what made it so wild.
It was just that last part where he had to have the imprint with the baby.
Absolutely.
If we could just take that out of the story. Mm-hmm. Just remove that entirely.
Yes.
Because it makes the whole thing so disingenuine, because it's like he didn't like Bella. He liked her seed, her eggs.
Yeah, which that made that weird.
Don't like that. He liked, you weren't imprinting on me. It was my future baby. Okay, yeah.
That's
my CGI baby.
You definitely know that's a Mormon writing this. I'm sorry, any Mormons.
My fucking
saying.
Muppet
yeah.
fucked up looking baby. That baby was
that
so
was
ugly.
Creepy.
That was so crazy.
So creepy.
But yeah, that, and then also if I need a book, if I don't want to like watch something, ACOTAR, A Court of Thorns and Roses.
It's everywhere right now. I'm seeing it. Like every time I like check out somewhere, I'm like, oh my God, I have to just get it.
So good.
I know
so
I'll love
good.
It. I know
yeah.
I will.
Once you get like 50 pages and you'll be like, yeah, I'm getting it.
Oh, no, no, yeah, no. I'll love it. Yeah. I know myself.
But that's also another one where, like, I know the story by heart. That's, I think, the best kind of comfort blanket is, like, you know it
already. You know it already.
So it's like,
know when a good scene's about to pop up and you're like.
Yeah. The soundtrack of New Moon and just Avatar itself. Ugh. Resand.
Can't. Excited.
Can't. What about you?
Oh, my God. This is. I don't know if everyone's going to know this, but I have to say it because it wasn't me who noticed. It was Lumberjack who noticed. So a lot of times I've been stressed lately. Yeah. Like we've all been stressed for our own things, but I've been super stressed. And I've been noticing that, like, I always watch stupid memes and I do stuff like that when I'm going to bed. But recently I started watching back this one episode of Wife Swap. And I didn't realize how often I was watching it. Yes. Now, this was back in the day. Yeah. This was a thing. So I would watch over and over. And I wasn't realizing how often I was watching it until Lumberjack was like, I texted him. I was like, you wouldn't believe what I'm watching. And I said it just like that. And then he wrote me back and he goes, either you're watching Curtis on Wife Swap or you're watching a farting meme. a farting reel. And I was like, okay, you do know me way too well because I am. I'm like, how did you know about the Wife Swap? He goes, Ashley, you've been watching that like so much lately.
Just one specific episode?
So there's this Chicken Nugget kid.
The Curtis.
Yes! And he makes me laugh so hard and I know every single word he's going to say. And when I tell you, I can't stop watching him over and over and over again. Never watched the show before and he knows he'll just send me things that he says because he knows. And I'm like, it's the best scene. I love that part.
Every time you get
love that part. From him. I love that part. And I don't know what it is that like, I have kind of picture that's how Lumberjack was as a kid. Chicken Nugget kid. He's like, only chicken nuggets. He's like, we're all the little people. He says in it. The sorry people. We're all just the sorry people. And like, he says the most off the wall shit. And I love it. Like, I don't know what it is about this kid. I'm obsessed with Chicken Nugget.
Where is he present day?
That's what I
have
to actually,
have a TikTok.
He has to have something. I'm dying to know what he looks like. Cause like, he's full grown now.
Yeah.
He's not a Chicken Nugget kid anymore. But like, literally, I don't know what it is about that episode. I can just watch it and laugh at the same parts every time.
Okay. I had growing up, you know, you're a kid. You just have like irrational fears that like are not based in reality at all. I had an irrational fear that I was going to wake up one day and my mom was wife swapped. And then I would have a different family in my house.
Stop
no
it.
Production.
Did your mom watch Wife Swap?
Yes.
That's
Wife Swap and Super Nanny.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, I love Super
what
Nanny.
What happened to her?
But I used to be able to watch Super Nanny and be like, you guys are glad I'm not like that kid, huh?
Right, right.
Yeah. Because it could be worse.
It could be worse. What's crazy is people need that now more than ever, I feel. I feel when Super Nanny was on, I don't think the kids were that bad.
I think now you what would need her now, to just take away an iPad.
Right.
Because your kid's going to punch you in the face.
Oh, my gosh. It's wild how much worse kids are now than they were back then.
Yeah. No, it was crazy
that's
watching
why
that.
Because
she
retired.
I would
too. Too many people are in her
own. Fucking, your career is based off of being, first of all, on TV. That's exhausting.
Yeah.
Two, you're working with bad kids.
Right.
Like troublemaking kids.
Right.
The whole thing was like, she would come over and the mom would be like, my kid keeps eating my hair and punching my face.
Oh, my gosh.
And she'd be like, I think we need to put him in timeout. take all the candy.
Yes. She's too much candy.
And she'd go out and throw all the stuff out.
But she was right. She knew. She knew before any of us knew.
Imagine you would to take an iPad out of the sticky hands of a toddler who has had it since their inception, who was born with it in their hands.
Yes.
You would need the super nanny to come with her pliers.
100%. Noah was the worst thing I could have done was Maria had an old little tablet. It was like, it's like a small one. So he likes when they're in the car together, he likes to look at her tablet while she's playing with it. So I was like, one day my mom was like, hey, do you want this one? Cause it's old, but like, you think maybe Noah? And I was like, homeboy is like, he wants you to have Danny go on TV or, and at the same time, he wants Destiny Plays on the iPad. Me and Kyle are like, what the fuck? He's not even iPad, two. iPad, so baby. We keep taking it and we keep hiding it because we're like, if he doesn't see it, he doesn't.
He won't think about it. Yeah.
But it is the kind of thing where both of us are like, we fucked up, because I thought, okay, so when they're in the car, but then it became more.
Because then he wanted it when he wasn't in the car.
So when he would see Maria on it. So that's always this. Yeah. And like, she's not on it that much. She's really like, she kind of, she's so ADHD, sitting out on anything for too long. She's, yeah. She's, no, she doesn't care. But like, when, if she has, starts mellowing down and she's sitting on the couch.
But it really is a double-edged sword, because are they consuming media and whatever? Yeah. But at the same time. Well, he's
just watching Sesame Place. Yeah. But still.
But yeah. They're like, they're actually learning things at the same time. They have access to like something that they can learn all the time. They're also 100%. Learning how to use technology.
Which is kind insane. Of.
Yeah.
It's, and they usually like, learn better than you. It's crazy.
Necessary.
It is.
Because it's only going to continue to become more advanced. Evolve. And they have to keep. Mm-hmm. They could
teach
up with
me
it.
Some shit. Yeah.
So I'm like, when we're accessing our email through eye contacts, I'm going to need Maria to teach me.
100%.
I'm going to be like, I need you to put my contacts in and tell me if I got a Fashion Nova coupon.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't know how to use this shit. But like, I don't know. It's just one of those.
It is one of those.
You can't avoid it.
No.
They're going to fucking see shit. And if you do completely avoid it, it has to become like something that you're so dedicated to.
Right.
You have to like to keep them away from screens at all.
I know. It is.
And it's also not fair.
No, it's not. It's just stressful.
That's like if a kid grew up without a TV, they came out a little weird.
They did come out weird.
You couldn't watch like Fairy Godparents or iParents or whatever. Yeah. Like fucking Rocko's Modern Life.
Yeah, it's
anything.
Weird.
You didn't know. You don't know Hannah Montana.
Yeah, it's
strange. Just not nice. It's not nice due to kids, because no, pop culture is like
it's huge.
It's huge, and they're gonna have to like know the references to get along with their other kids.
It's true.
So, all right, you got to get the baby on iPad.
Yeah,
but there's some kids that will like fling it at your head if you try to take it away
from
them.
Oh, it's crazy.
That's
wild.
Where you need a super nanny.
Yes, that's where super nanny comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, to pivot, I've got a topic on my mind because I heard something the other day.
Okay.
And I really want to know your opinion on this, okay? I heard somebody say something along the lines of, like, if their friends make a mistake, they were basically saying they're not going to be nice about it. They're going to tell them you fucked up, and they're going to get mad at them about it. And saying that that's, like, the right way to be.
No, that wouldn't be a normal thing for me. I think it's taken me so long even just to, like, remove people or like have to put a boundary, but I feel like the only reason that that has happened was because of me not saying something for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, even if someone was fucking on my last nerve, I would still say yes. I'm a very vocal person about how I feel, so would I be honest? Of course. But I would not say it rude. Yeah. And I wouldn't definitely not try to make them feel bad about something. It's more that I'm just being assertive of like, okay, we've done this a few times. But yeah. Like for a one time.
You get mad at your friend because they made a mistake instead of being like, oh, mistakes happen.
Oh, no. Because
that's a little different than just you want your friend to take accountability to me.
There is a very big difference. And there's a reason why they're your friend, is because you're supposed to be supportive of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a way to say things, but that's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless you're a very, very perfect person, which I'm sure no one really is, who are you?
Yeah, my thing is like, my friends, I have enough trust in that when they make a mistake, they know they made a mistake.
Yeah.
I don't personally have anybody in my life that like makes a mistake and they go, no, but that was fine. If my friend comes to me, you come to me, you tell me, I fucked up, I did this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to tell you that you fucked up.
That's true.
You know that you did. I'm just listening because I fuck up too. And that's what you do. You talk it out sometimes.
Yep.
You need to hear yourself say it sometimes.
Well, when you're saying it like that, 100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you don't need to parent your friend if they know they made a mistake. There are people that are more in denial than others.
There's a difference between being in denial and, you know what I mean? If you're saying I fucked up, no, you should not be beating them up because they already know.
That's where they
already know. That's definitely like a thing. Like, if you're already admitting is the first, but like if you're already saying I fucked up because I did blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You're already saying you know. So why would you beat them up about it?
I just think that if somebody makes a mistake, they probably know they made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to tell them that.
Yeah.
that doesn't mean I'm coddling them.
No.
Or encouraging it. No. Or being like, no, you're fine. Like, there's just, you can just hear somebody out.
I know.
But I'm not your fucking parent.
No, that you're not.
That's like a lot to me, I think.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
And I've also seen that hat play out with other people where like somebody makes a mistake and then the other person gets mad at them for it, like a friend gets mad at them for it. And it's like, but you're supposed to make mistakes. If it's something repeated, let's say you've got a friend who keeps getting back with a piece of shit boyfriend and it gets to the point where you're like, I'm sorry, I can't hear about this anymore.
Yes.
That's a different thing.
100%. That is where people, that's the line.
Yeah. That's where the line is for me.
Yeah.
Is it has to be something or where it's like, you don't want to help yourself. Yes. That's what bothers me.
Yes. Yes, I am like that in any situation, is that I'm always going to be an ear. But if I'm giving you the right solutions and you don't want to take them and you're surrounding yourself with negative things, I really don't want to be around it anymore.
Yeah.
Because I've given you outs.
If I know I fucked up and I tell my friend, you know, I did this.
Anything.
Whatever. I don't feel good about it and blah, blah, blah. You're not my supervisor. And I do not need you to write me up about it.
No.
I don't need a lecture. You know what I mean?
It almost seems like that person had that kind of upbringing where that's how they were raised or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because that just seems very ridiculous.
I just think it's too extreme of an approach to something, especially with friends.
Oh, 100%.
I get it. You love your friends. You love your friends so much. They're like your family to you. And like, that's, you want to, I wouldn't do that with my family even.
No, I wouldn't either. There's only so much of a point that you want to do those kinds of things to somebody.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that that's like, I think most adults can govern themselves.
Absolutely.
And also, if you're sometimes you make a mistake and you know you made a mistake and you made it on purpose.
100%.
It wasn't really a mistake. It was something that you did and it was fucked up. And you want to be able to trust that you can tell somebody that you did that thing and then not look at you crazy and go, you know, that was fucked up. And you really should. Like, I just think sometimes you fuck up and you just want to tell your friend because you trust them.
Exactly.
And everybody does it.
Yes.
I have made mistakes on purpose.
Yeah.
I've done shit wrong on purpose before because I wanted to take a different path because I wanted to try something different because I wanted to be stupid for a second.
Right. Exactly.
You're allowed that. Mm-hmm. I think getting mad at somebody and maybe even like it directly impairing your friendship, it's just so extreme.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. That's just my personal approach to shit is I just don't think that it's like our job to fucking do that for each other.
No, it's not.
And I think you go to somebody with the intent of like asking them for their opinion if you want it.
Right, exactly.
Sometimes you just want to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different.
100%.
So I don't know. What's your boundary for like if somebody is doing something that they know they're making a mistake, but they continue to make it? How much leeway do you give them before it becomes a thing where like you don't want to be a part of it anymore?
I feel like I've been struggling with that a lot lately, to be honest. I don't know. I feel like everyone needs to learn, like what you said. It's one thing to agree that you're making the wrong decision, but it's really frustrating when, like, I'm the kind of person where I'm going to be there. I'm going to listen to whatever you have to say. But if a person really doesn't have to be part of your life and they're a negative part of your life, there's only so much that I can just be like, that's okay. Like, okay, that sucks. Like, that happened. Like, that sucks that person did this. But when you're actively keeping not nice humans in your life, it makes me start to question you.
Yeah.
Like, more than anything, I'm starting to wonder, like, but why are you surrounding yourself with these kinds of people? Like, nobody's nice. Everyone's being awful. You're coming to me with the same exact drama, but it's not drama that's like, something you don't have to have.
Yeah.
So you're choosing it. I get it. If like, oh my God, if someone came to me and they were like, this is happening at work and I have to deal with this person. Well, yeah, it's work. That fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like you could literally come to me with the same exact fucking story every day and you're right. There's nothing you can do about it. It's your fucking job. Even if it's your family, you're right. You can't really choose your fucking family. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Come with me the same fucking story 100 times. I'll listen. But if it's about a situation that you technically don't have to be in.
That you opted into. That you opted into. And continue to.
I used to be like, let things slide. But I think I'm just coming to a place in my life where I'm like, I don't want to. It's not necessary. Family is necessary. Not to say friends aren't, because they are. But if they're not good friends, then why? And then again, it goes back to who you are as a person. Why are you enjoying to be around that?
Yeah.
What is it? And even like there's key things that people say to me that I'm noticing recently, like just tons of people. If they are drama like filled, like if they love it,
yeah,
I don't want anything to do with it.
Oh, do you like hate you know that. When somebody is the victim in every story?
Oh my gosh.
What are the odds? What are statistically, somebody do the math right now, break out the calculator. Yes. What are the odds of an adult person
yes.
being the victim in every single situation every that happens in their life?
Every single situation.
Pretty slim, right? Slim to none.
Yes.
It's one thing if it's a person who can admit when they fuck up. I can admit, right. like, I fuck up and I've flown off the handle about shit. And
my gosh, I'm the same fucking way.
But you're the saint angel
right.
in every situation.
Right.
And everybody does you dirty. Stand up.
Right.
Like, what's
going wrong on with you?
What are you doing?
Right. There has to be a part of you that is the problem.
At that point, you are on some kind of fucking website for like opting abuse. Into like people that are fucking horrible.
Yes, exactly. Or, and like,
you're searching for it. You're actively looking for it because it's not realistic. It's not true.
No, it's not.
Sometimes fucked up things happen in life. And you really, truly do not deserve it. I don't believe that every single thing can happen for you. Because sometimes fucked up shit happens.
It does.
It can redirect you later on. But sometimes shit just happens to you. And it's fucked up. And that's just the end of the story. And there's whatever. And you are a victim. You can be a victim of things. To be a victim all the time.
That's wild.
You have to be actively seeking out situations.
You do.
You are like Rapunzel putting herself in the tower.
Correct.
Or you're lying, which is the more likely thing.
Exactly. That it's not actually happening. This is just a bunch of fucking bullshit. And that's so frustrating. It's so frustrating to be on the other end of it.
I know I've said this on the podcast before, but mm-hmm. it makes me feel a little sick to think about people pitying me.
Oh, I hate that.
So to think about seeking pity.
I couldn't do that. I mean,
there's obviously something there. Like there's some underlying thing that's right. like why is that what you want from people?
It's true.
And what did you not get before that correct. Ended up being like
yeah,
this?
Yeah, that you needed this.
But
oh my gosh, I have family members who are like that with the pity. That's the worst. Nonstop.
Oh, you're breaking out your tiny violin for me?
Oh my god.
And they go, "Oh no.
But I can't because this happened." I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like,
you want that? That's like, that's, you're looking for it?
And you know what, too? I think if you cry something long enough and it's not happening, it will. And it's going to be the worst to happen to you.
Because yeah.
that's the people who can't handle, who really couldn't handle it.
And you lose credibility with everybody around you.
Absolutely.
So mm-hmm. if some shit does go down, they're going to be like, what did you do?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
It does get to a point when somebody is the victim in every story, which like, I know we've all come across a man in life that has been like that. Every person they've ever spoken to or dated did them dirty.
Worst. They did this.
She was horrible. She was so mean.
That's why I always say when you're dating, if they're coming to you and telling you all these awful stories, mm-hmm. gotta wonder to yourself. That's the one thing I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
My last, not Maria's dad, but I think even the guys I was dating, just dating, no one said anything negative about their exes.
Yeah.
I had to find things out. But even with Lumberjack, he alluded negativity, but never tore any of them apart.
Doesn't want to throw them under the bus.
No, barely talks about them.
Because you dated that person, you spent time with them, and you've hopefully have good memories together. Why do you want to take all of that away from it?
Right, exactly.
And also, I'd be like, okay, you're a simp. Like, you're like, right. You're like a weird guy that
like, why do you need that?
Yeah, you like being with bad people.
Right.
Cool. I mean, the obvious is like, that's how they're going to talk about you if you break up.
Right. That's, and also, like, you gotta not really believe the bullshit either. You got to weed through that.
No, that's so stupid. And then like.
And I feel like when people in the beginning of dating, when they tell like sad stories, it's usually not true.
Oh, it's like never like, true.
Usually like the most made up bullshit is that they're gonna start telling you like some terrible thing that happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why would they tell you something so quickly?
Because they were in the car rehearsing it.
Yeah, like nothing about that's believable.
No. And all of your girlfriends were the worst people ever. And I'm just like, okay, so you have terrible taste. What does that say about me?
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, I don't want to be part of that. So there's that.
Don't want to be next in line.
No.
Yeah. Thanks, no. But no thank thanks. You. I'm going to go out and slash your tires now. Like, at that point, you deserve a real story.
No, you do.
Yeah. You like, do. Everybody's been horrible to you. And these right. are just, like, a bunch of, like, it's, like, a girl named Nicole.
Right.
Who has bangs and, like, gardens and, like, right. works at Target.
And, there, and there
like,
she is just completely
she's just
content.
A normal fucking person. And you're just like, oh, don't even get me started about Nicole.
Oh, no.
What a bitch. Oh, God. She was so mean. And she'd, like, have these periods. And, like, oh, my God. Like, I don't
and
know
And I would have to go out and get her Oreos.
She would do this thing where she would, like, leave cups in the sink. And, like, oh, my God. She was such a bitch. Like, and Nicole just, like.
Nicole.
She just has bangs. She's just a girl. And she's just a normal fucking person.
And you're out here. Fuck.
You deserve a real story.
You do.
You deserve for somebody even to set you ablaze.
I have so many, like, I have so much more respect for people who are like, I suck.
I fucking suck. Yes. I did the thing. I leave the cups in the sink.
Yes.
I asked for Oreos at 3 a.m. Like, that's okay. I might still slash your tires for a different reason, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, you, if some people who have the fucking victim complex, they're always at the center of everything and everything yes. happens to them and they mm-hmm. never do anything to other people.
That's right.
You've got a storm brewing.
Oh, yeah.
Something's going to happen and nobody's going to believe you.
100%.
Crazy, mm-hmm. crazy. Also, just wanting, and then, like, the thing is, the people like that, that will, like, everybody does things to them and right, they're right, a victim, right. blah, blah, blah. They, like, they'll never stop hanging out with those people. They'll never cut anybody out of their life.
And that also is a big alarm to me where it's like, I have cut people out for less. they didn't do their hair right that day. I just was like, I can't fuck with you anymore. I'm just kidding. Imagine. but no, seriously, like, if you have to start wondering about the actual person who's saying these things.
Yeah.
Why would you surround yourself with such terrible humans?
Why do you want this?
Why do you want this for yourself?
It will be Nicole. That's the ex he's texting behind your
100%.
Back. 100%. It's going to be Nicole because she didn't actually do anything.
No, Nicole was the one that got away.
Yeah. Nicole's not actually getting cut off.
No.
Because she didn't leave the cups in the sink. It was him.
It was him. And yeah. she was cleaning them. And she actually dumped him for all those reasons.
And I think that's another thing they do is the things that they feel about themselves or that they do,
uh-huh.
they project that's it. And that's what they're going to say other people do to them.
Correct.
It's like, and especially if you notice a pattern and it's like the same, people are doing the same kind of thing to them all the time.
Yes.
Right. They're schizophrenic.
I do. Right.
They're having like a mental break.
I do find that interesting because I do have like a few people in my life that will tell me like these god awful things that people have said to them. And I'm like, if anybody said even a quarter of that to me, I would fucking destroy them and we would never have contact again.
Yeah.
Like, I would never allow that in my life.
There's being non-confrontational.
Right. Which just cut it off and we'll walk away.
And then there's being a doormat.
Right.
Which I'm like, the average person cannot like handle that kind of abuse that a lot of people claim to go through. Like friends saying fucked up shit to them or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe in relationships, I feel like
we
kind of stretch what we're capable of handling for whatever fucking
reason.
It's
very, very common.
Yeah, but in friendships, that's like most people will fight a million times with their boyfriend, stay with them, but fight with a friend one time, cut them off.
Right.
So I'm like, you're telling me that this person, actually all these people
do
the same kind of things to you all the time, and you are just like,
it's fine, I'll keep them.
Well, it sucks, but what are you gonna do? The odds of this being true are so slim. It's
because
I can't.
It's wild to me.
So maybe I can't wrap my head around it.
I can't because it's just not a thing.
I just think when you notice a pattern, follow that instinct.
Yes.
Odds are it's probably not true.
I think for the first time, like I'm like taking notes. Like I, you know, when you're like young and you just like in high school. You could have a bunch of fucked up friends. You could have a bunch of, like, I don't necessarily think I did, but I could see how people could get wrapped up in things because you're young and you don't fucking know what you're doing.
Yeah, and nobody's like fully developed as a person.
So everyone's a little fucked up.
Yeah.
So, but like now, I couldn't even think of just involving myself in like relationships that were just not meant for me.
No.
It would be so tiring because you already have your own stuff. You come home every day. You have to work every day. You have to deal with your fucking significant other who's annoying half the time.
Yeah.
Like you have your own shit. Why would you add on more unnecessary shit? I feel like as you get older, like my mom always says, your circle gets so much smaller.
Yeah.
Because why are you going to tolerate anything but good people around you?
Yeah. And I was telling Ashley, I'm like, I feel like sometimes I can't tell if it's like you necessarily outgrow somebody, like maybe you're just kind of like not into the same shit anymore, right, or whatever.
Which that happens.
And sometimes it's also like I'm just not comfortable with that person.
Yes. Yes, I have to say, yes, yeah. That's definitely a thing.
Yeah, sometimes I'm just like, you lose whatever
credibility you have.
Yes, and mm-hmm. also in high school, you don't have to have anything in common with somebody.
Zero.
It's a proximity friendship a lot of the time.
It literally is.
And you don't realize that until you grow up and you're like functioning and going through life and whatever. And the other person is like taking a completely
differently
other path, but not in a way where you're just like different. Because I have mm-hmm. friends that are just like different.
Completely.
Have a different lifestyle than me. That's different than like you just cannot align
right
morally or like in how you think.
Morally is everything. And yeah. I do think the way that you allow yourself to be treated has everything to do with morals.
Yeah. I think like, or do your fucking senses of humor change too? And maybe there's just the thing where like I've been around somebody that I used to be closer friends with.
Yes.
And like realize that the whole time we never like laugh together because I'm like, what the fuck? It was literally a proximity friendship.
That's so weird.
And I'm like, what did we do? We just went out and drank.
Right. So then that became funny.
That was the thing. Yeah. But I'm like, there really wasn't anything else there.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's fine. I think that I've always stood by like you've got friends for different things. You've got absolutely. Like your friends that can go do this. Your friends good. Some people have like a friend that they only go to Pilates with.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's fine to have like just connections. But like as far as like friendships, people you check in with regularly, if it's just it seems like a task,
it should I'm never just feel not like that. No,
interested.
Not at all.
Okay, should we get into Married at First Sight?
Yes.
Okay, I'm so excited. Spoilers. So
yeah, so don't listen.
Yeah, when you guys are hearing this, we did not see the most recent episode, like the last one,
which is like is it reunion?
It's before the reunion, so it's like they're all meeting up, I guess. Before the reunion.
Yeah,
okay. Which I'm super excited for because that comes out the week that we're recording this.
Yes.
We've seen the decision day and all that.
Correct.
What are your general feelings? Because obviously we both expressed we love this season. It was crazy. My gosh,
this season was so needed.
Yeah.
Because all the other seasons were getting weird. Like horrible compatibility. I like, you know, I have to say between this and Love is Blind, I have to say a lot of better guys are coming out of things. Except for one. But like, two technically. But like, I have to say, normally there's like a lot of men I don't like,
mm-hmm.
but I'm actually liking a lot of the guys.
And they all seem to get along pretty well. Even the ones that we don't like.
Even that they're just like, yeah. Like, it just seems like this was like the two seasons that they had together were just like the two seasons where you realized, don't settle. Don't mm-hmm. like anyone who's single, do not settle because there are better.
Yeah.
Like, it just proved that finally because the other seasons were scary. That was like, what the
Some of them
fuck?
Were just... Again, like similar to what I said about Love is Blind the last episode,
yeah,
where I think some people are just connected through the experience itself,
yes,
and they feel like they have to see it through. This Correct. One felt more like an act of choice,
right? An act of choice,
actual compatibility,
yes.
And we got a successful marriage.
We did, and I mean, like I said, I was back and forth about them, but I feel like that's a good match. I'm glad that they're together.
I do see a little bit of like bringing something out of each other.
They did,
and they just for sure. kind of. Match.
They match
temperament
good.
Wise yeah. oh, and everything. Yeah. yeah, I'm just.
I
like,
liked him more. Yeah, her, but yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. And him. Every time I would see him and his twin brother, I'm like, that's crazy because they didn't just have the same face; they had the same
reactions.
Expressions. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, twins freak me out a little.
Yeah,
bit.
I know.
Yeah, identical twins.
Imagine having them. You being the mom.
Yeah, dress them together all the time. Yeah. I'd probably be easier. You just dress them alike.
Be creepy.
Yeah,
they probably do some fucked up shit.
You ever see twins that like they grow up and they still continue to dress the same?
I can't right now. I'm picturing
you both wearing purple overalls. Yes. You're 45, whatever. But
I loved, which I was disappointed, but I understood it. Was I loved Carla and Juan?
Me too.
At first, I was like I was neither nor about them. Like I was she was wild at first.
When, like, she was like, I'm an alien.
Yeah, she came out. She came in really hot. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, I think we were talking about when I really fell in love with them was when they went on the, what's it called? The retreat.
The retreat was when they shine.
And I was like, oh my gosh, they are so compatible. Mm-hmm. And he was playing his guitar and she was dancing. And I was like, this is so cute.
Okay, Juan talks about Carla being out there, but spiritual, whatever. But
he is just as out there.
Equally. You guys are equally out there, just in different ways.
And completely.
He's playing his guitar by the fire and he goes, music is the soul of the world. And Carla goes, yeah. You guys are like, you're the same. You don't realize it, but you are.
I still wish that they find each other later when he's ready.
Yeah.
Because I said to Taylor, I'm like, they just have to fuck. Because I truly believe if he just calmed the fuck down and they fucked, I think he would be fine. I think they would be completely onto the road to the next thing.
I don't think it's Carla. I think it is Juan holding back.
Yes, 100%.
And he was like, oh, I just want somebody who does the same stuff as me and whatever. I'm like, but that's not...
Where he spends his time reminds me of a place that she would spend her time.
Yeah.
Because they both are like very like in their own worlds.
He was making excuses.
It was a complete excuses. They worked so well together. Even at the very end, he was like, should we do a little dance before I go? Like,
yeah, their dance party. And she just goes along with everything.
She's so great.
I love Carla so much.
She really grew on me and like really a favorite.
Yeah,
And she's a girl's girl.
Mm-hmm. The way that she stood by Michelle, this was the craziest controversy that I've seen. And we had one of the therapists end up with somebody on the show before, in an earlier season. But this one blew that out of the water.
Wild.
Because of how long the lie went on for. And, okay, the scene when Madison pulls David into the room on the couple's retreat and she goes, you know, I feel like I need to tell you. After everything blows up, right?
I know.
And Michelle is like, clearly has them both pinned on against the wall.
Exactly.
She's confronted Madison and said, do you think that text is meant for you? And she said, I don't see why it would be.
Oh, God, she gave herself away. Pissed me off.
Gave herself away. They both gave themselves away. Like, they, you know when somebody is caught and they've got that look, that frozen look on their face, and they're trying not to do too much with their face because they're trying to not be analyzed. Literally me analyzing them while doing it. But like, you could just tell they both knew they were done. So Michelle had them pinned against the wall. Madison pulls David in for this fake ass fucking conversation.
I knew it was fake, but then when you broke it down, I was like, oh my God, you're so right. Because she had a theory behind it. What was it?
Okay, David's in bed, right? He's like napping or whatever. And I think Madison realized this has got to end. Like the truth is going to come out. She already kind of told the producer.
Right.
So she's like, okay, no matter what, I'm like fucked here. So she pulls David from bed and David does not know what's about to happen because he's still going, I just want to sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like he's like drama.
Yeah. Being dramatic and like he doesn't know what conversation is about to take place. So she sits him down and then she's like, I will need you to know I have feelings for you. And David's like, oh my God, I hate that.
He's so annoying.
You know, I got feelings for you too. At first, you can tell David had no idea what that conversation was going to be.
He didn't know what was about to happen.
And then he caught on after a little while.
I'm shocked he did because he is.
Me too, but it took him a minute.
He's literally zero brain cells.
Because at first when she says, I have some feelings for you, he goes, okay.
So yeah, he's kind of like, weird.
You can tell he's like, what are we doing right now? So he finally catches on to what she's doing, which is pretending to tell him for the first time that she has feelings for him, even though they have already probably fucked.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, you don't text somebody that I can't wait to eat you unless you're going to eat them.
And also, how many times were they coming home at 3 a.m.?
Mm-hmm. At the exact same fucking time. They've got the footage to match it up.
That was wild.
Come on now. So you've already had sex. You've already discussed that you have feelings for each other. You've already talked about all of this. You're just talking about it on camera for the first time.
Right.
So Madison's trying to get away with like pulling this off.
Correct.
And David finally catches on. Then he goes, oh, I gotta be honest. That text was actually for you. And she's like, what?
Oh my God, that was probably the most annoying thing on earth.
Imagine you're going to somebody who you know for a fact is with your husband, which I mean, people are like, well, it's like, they're not really like.
No, they got married,
they went through this whole thing together, that's her husband. And they're smiling the whole time. And they're going,
that was the most annoying part.
Giggling
was
like a fucking Furby. Like, I know it's a nervous tick, but because of what she did, it was, it didn't bother me until I was like, oh, Michelle's right. And they're definitely, there's definitely something to this. And then that laugh, that nervous laugh became like nails on a chalkboard to me.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, I was like, whatever, it doesn't faze me. Immediately changed for me. And I have to say, you clocked her before I caught on.
Yeah, I had a bad, she started doing weird shit. And I was like, I think, okay, so I didn't like, we've talked about this before too. Well, me and you, I don't think we've talked about it in Heroes. There's nothing wrong with trying to upgrade a partner.
Yeah.
That's fine. But the way that it was like, for the men on the show, it was like borderline abuse this season.
They were in like create a sim.
Literally, Thomas had to start wearing a gold chain.
And it was fucking stunts.
And stunts just to make his girl happy and get a little more aggressive in bed.
She took
him
to a Claire's.
She took him to Then we have Michelle, which now I don't care because of the situation, but it was a little aggressive.
Yeah.
That she brought him out to this expensive place that she knew he technically couldn't afford and made him spend money and to redo his wardrobe. Okay, whatever. But the worst one by far was Madison.
Yeah.
Because she took him to a very expensive place.
To some fucking douche with too much purple shampoo in his hair.
Oh my gosh.
And the funniest part, the whole Alan scene when he finds out about everything and he's destroyed was very sad. Actually,
it was.
Made me emotional.
Yeah, it did.
But when he's outside and he goes, I just spent $3,000 on clothes for the bitch.
Right.
And Juan goes, well, let's you know, retain.
Yeah, he was a good Juan.
He's trying to say without saying him and Emma, they were like, try not to call her a bitch.
Right, right. That's all they were trying to do, was just trying to be like,
even though she deserved it. It's right, like let's not, you're on TV.
Right,
like,
exactly. Let's not do that.
But he did spend $3,000.
And she was making him fix his teeth. I mean, when I tell you, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this stuff, but like, there wasn't a single thing. His body? She was making him go to the gym?
Going to the gym and smile direct.
Right?
What is going on? Leave him alone.
I'm sorry, but like, that poor fucking man.
I think on the car ride to the retreat, after he got the smile direct and immediately was like putting his retainer in, I think that she was kind of feeling guilty for a moment and being like, well, you want to do it for yourself too, right? He's like, well, he's like, gotta impress my girl.
Oh, I know.
Oh, Alan. Oh, Alan. I'm gonna take you out of the screen. I'm gonna put you in my pocket. You need to be safe.
No.
Oh, that made me so fucking sad.
I know. He's like, whatever makes you happy. And he's like, I never really thought about my teeth before. And I was like,
he said, I liked my little canine.
I know. They feel so bad for him. Like,
he's allowed to call her a bitch on TV one time.
Yeah, one time.
One time. Come on.
But I have to say, my heart broke. Like, it did for him. Like,
oh, he could not dress for shit, but he didn't deserve to be forced into a blazer.
No, no.
And a retainer.
And a retainer. He was forced into a blazer or a retainer.
On a treadmill.
And a treadmill.
Madison had a gun to his temple the whole season.
Yes. And then she has the fucking balls to just turn around and be like, yeah. Oh, it's fucking David. Like, yeah,
it's the you know what really got me? David saying, it started in the gym.
Oh my God, if I had to hear
he
that.
He said
one.
It so many times. You know, I gotta be honest with you, Thomas. It started in the gym. It started with you, like, eye fucking each other and then obviously going out and drinking together and having sex.
David was so stupid. I think that no matter what she would say, like, he just be like, yeah.
Michelle was such a crazy 180 because she came across horribly in the beginning.
Horribly. Like, I don't think anyone liked her in the beginning.
No. And then
it was like we were all thinking she was abusive
and
but,
doing too much and being a little too mean. I think, and I would love to talk to her about this. We've got to fucking shoot her an email because I really want to have her on like Zoom
Me
or something.
Too.
I just feel like maybe she had suspicions about stuff.
100%.
Remember they were on the yacht? On honeymoon.
Yeah.
And the producers are coming to her and they're like asking her to try.
Yeah.
I think that she was struggling with feeling like this guy is off and his positivity and his whole thing is kind of an act.
Yeah.
And not having anything to prove that. But it became very clear that it was an act because as soon as David got cornered about something he did wrong, whole act went away and he became a fucking asshole. I think she kind of knew. I wonder if the producers pushed the idea of like take him, take your husband to go work on something cosmetically that you would like, you know, just to upgrade them a bit. Because it's weird that three of them did it.
Yeah.
Madison did more than the others.
That's that was way more extreme. Looking, because it all came out so quickly for her. Like he started talking about it all in the same episode that everything hit the fan.
Yeah.
So it's like we kind of knew things were going on, but we didn't realize like how...
Yeah.
It was three major things that they were like, I don't like anything about you. And it's like, mm-hmm. wow, like that's awful.
Yeah.
And then like when she was making him feel like he was an alcoholic when he wasn't, that shit was... She was projecting
like a motherfucker because she had her own issues around alcohol with her mom and she was going out and drinking 3-4 nights a week.
And then I'll never forget Miss... What's her name? Pia?
Dr. Pia.
She was like, how many times a week?
She said, I don't think it's been that many, has it? And then immediately they're so shady, the producers, because they cut immediately to footage of her coming in for three nights in a row at 4 a.m. Because she's right.
This show is supposed to be mostly just you and that person because you have to get to know them. And she was gone every second she fucking could get.
And Alan having nightmares on the couch.
No wonder.
He said, I had a nightmare last night that you got kidnapped and married in front of me to somebody else. And she's like, oh my gosh.
It's basically what happened, which is creepy.
Which I'm like, sometimes you intuitively know something is going on with nothing to back it up. And I really do. I'm a Michelle apologist. I think she knew from jump.
I think so too.
That something was up, but she couldn't tell the producers he's blah, 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 because she had nothing to prove.
No,
she's just walking around with the fucking camera in his face. You know, when they do the self.
Oh, he was so annoying. He's like, what a beautiful day.
Oh, I'm such a positive guy and a positive day. Oh my God. You're so not real.
No,
you're not a fucking cartoon character.
He thought he was.
He acted like one until he got cornered, and then he was Gaslight Central.
Oh, 100%.
The Gaslight Express.
The Gaslight Express is right.
Michelle chased that shit down to the end, and I respect her so much for it. I do too.
She wanted to out them because she was about to look terrible on screen prior to that.
Yep.
And I think she was like, oh no, I'm going to get mine for this. Yeah. I am not going to come out here looking crazy.
I'm so pro Michelle. Michelle and Carla, my fucking...
favorite.
My superstars this season.
I think so too.
Loved Alan too.
Loved Juan.
I love Thomas.
Thomas too.
I mean, I really, it was only David and Madison this season. That was we forgot about Ikechi and MM.
God.
That just didn't need to go on as long as it did.
It went on too long.
Yeah.
He was completely insane. He was trying to make her look crazy when she wasn't. But I do think she held on way too long.
He comes across a little mentally ill.
He's definitely mentally ill.
I don't know if that's
ill.
Too extreme to put out there onto somebody, but that's...
He was definitely mentally ill.
There's something
like
going
nothing, on. Nothing was right about what
his
he was doing.
His behavior did not add up, and it was too extreme. Mm-hmm. Also, him trying to make her seem like she sexually assaulted him.
That was
when he
wild.
Was the first one to cross that line in the first place on the honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you're putting your hand on... her hand on your dick, and then you're like, why does she want to have sex with me? I'm a stranger. Why do you want a stranger to put their palm on your penis?
Right.
Hypocrite. He's a weirdo. She kind of dragged it at the end, but she was never wrong.
No, she was never wrong. Yeah. Ever. And I still think from this day that the whole switch did happen when he went to her house and he realized how put together she was and how much she had together. And he wanted to be the superior one in the relationship. And he realized that wasn't going to happen.
There were two things that you completely changed my viewpoint in the season that you said. And it was that. And I was like, no, you're right. Mm-hmm. That is when the switch kind of flipped in his head and he got really weird with her.
It was weird.
And then two was when you said, I think Madison is picking fights with Alan to have an excuse to get out of the house at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then look how true that ended up being.
Which was wild because I did not expect all that to happen. I just thought she was going out with her friends. And then when they did all the things, when they were together and all this, and I'm like, oh my God,
just
it's way worse than I thought.
So crazy. And if you guys listen to this because you just like us and you just decided to listen anyway, you really, despite hearing all this, should go and watch
just
it.
Just watch it.
Such interesting dynamics. Mm-hmm. There's people to actually root for. There's people that kind of root against.
Yep.
But that's what makes a good show.
Exactly.
And I'm so excited for the reunion.
Me too. It's wild.
I think that the next episode, Madison and Michelle are going to continue their blow up. I said Madison's making every wrong turn that you could possibly make as somebody who got caught fucking somebody over.
Yeah, it's
she
wild.
Shows up in a matching outfit. Hideous, by the way.
So bad. The makeup was the worst part.
The eyeshadow was crazy.
I thought they were dressing for Halloween.
But
he looked like Freddy Krueger and she looked like a devil. Like, it was so weird.
It was like a all three of the trio Shadow Palettes, but like that's too much.
Too much.
The matching outfits. She shows up being unapologetic,
which is she was starting a fight. She like yes. Michelle was being cordial. Like, yeah. She was like, I'm not, we don't have to, like, whatever, I'm just gonna.
She left it alone.
She went in there like, I'm gonna fight you. I'm like, shut up.
And that's the worst thing you could do. You fucked up. You don't get to talk shit to the other person.
No!
And then her walking away from it and being like, they showed the preview for the next episode where Madison's like, put me in the ring.
And I'm like.
Okay, so you think you could beat her up and that, like,
that's gonna make it better?
Makes it better. Right. Makes you look cool
right now. You look like a fucking idiot.
You look bad. There's no saving it. That fake conversation was the funniest thing I've seen on the show throughout all 18 seasons.
Absolutely.
So fantastic. Great. I'm so excited for the reunion.
Yes, me too.
Okay, well, that's it for this week.
All right.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you give us 5 stars wherever you might be listening. Come check us out on Instagram. I'm at T Felly.
And I'm at It's at That Ash Bash.
And we'll talk to you guys next Tuesday.
Bye.